Okay, you guys ready to go?
You are brainwashed. Yes,
you're all brainwashed.
I needed my brainwashed.
Yep, you're all brainwashed.
I needed my
brainwashed. Somebody want to go in the foyer there and haul them in? Yeah, you told me about it at breakfast time. Story time is on Saturday. The pretty lady hugging my wife there, that's Carol Constantino. She's speaking at story time. We're going to hear Carol's story. And then in April, we're going to hear Mikey's story. So story time's booked up. If you get a bulletin, all the stuff's in the bulletin, everywhere we're going to be and where we're meeting and that kind of stuff. And Kara, we good with the kids? Okay, where are they? Oh, you're waiting for your kids. They're that late. Oh my goodness, wow. Okay, well, if you got little ones, if Colton wants to stay, he can stay. If he wants to, I said Colton.
Colston.
Spell it. I thought it was T. Are you serious? You've been letting me call him Colton that long? What kind of a mother are you? It's Colson. Josh, step in here. Come on. Hi, Colson. How you doing, buddy? He never even corrected me either. It's Colson. Yeah. Colton, I was saying. It's Colson. But I've been saying Colton all along. Really? You're scaring me, man. Like, you're really scaring me. This needs to stay on the tape. Are we recording? Where's Jean? Jean! So I like the way we do church, Stefan. Pretty loosey-goosey, eh? Somebody get Jean here. I don't know if he's got the... Is the tape rolling? It is. Oh, wait, you edit this. You're going to have fun with this. Jean, come here. I want people to see your t-shirt. Come on up here. We got a lot of guests here this morning. Chantel got Jean and I matching t-shirts. He's got more guts than me. He's wearing his today. But people need to see it. Okay. It says ADHD highway to, hey, look, a squirrel. Thank you for that. I don't know. Okay, we're going to start. This is where all the other stuff gets edited out for the podcast. Oh, we have a phone number now. The church has a phone number. Yeah, and if you get a bulletin, it's on the cover. You'll see it, okay? We have a phone. Don't worry, it's not me holding the phone. It's okay.
Yeah, you never asked
for no, it's not. It's a holy woman of God who is committed to Christ and full of the Holy Spirit. And when you get contact with her on the phone, she won't even have to say anything. She just got so much of the presence of God in here, and just, you'll get saved just hearing the tone of her voice. Okay? You're all brainwashed. You're all brainwashed. You know that? You're all brainwashed.
Amen.
You ever heard that line before?
Yeah.
You ever tried to talk to somebody? I hope you're not pushy when you talk about the Lord. I hope, you know, in your job, you know, when people see you coming, they don't go like this, you know, like, Heather, I'm talking now. I need your full attention. Okay. Thank you. I hope people don't, because there are, you know, there are Christians like that, right? Have you met Christians like that? Have you got some, like, I mean, we're called all kinds of things. Holy rollers, pains in the butt, like, you know, they're out to convert you. Okay. We don't do that here. We let the Holy Spirit do that. We're called to love. We're called to wash people's feet. We're called to, why do you want to wash people's feet? It's wintertime. I'll get to that, okay? It's the Bible says that. It's kind of like terminology, you know? But you've run into this. I need to let you know that it's true. We are brainwashed. You don't want a dirty brain, do you? Do you want a dirty mind? I don't know about you, but I need cleansing all the time, okay? In fact, I pray a lot, God, wash my mind, okay? Some of you know who have watched movies with me. I can't see somebody get a needle on TV. Okay, I look at Heather and I say, okay, tell me what I can watch. She says, okay, you're safe. And I'll watch, okay? Can't handle that. You know? And when I've seen stuff like that, I remember coming home on Airport Parkway from downtown, and it was during the daytime, and there was traffic jammed, and something had happened, because it was like before rush hour, and it was all, you know, took me about 20 minutes to get through, and then I saw, oh yeah, there's cops, there's been an accident, and I remember driving by, and there was a mangled bike, and I drove by, and I took a look, and I saw how the guy was injured, okay? Oh, it, you know, as soon as you turn away, oh, why did I look? Why did I look? And I remember that image being in my mind. And I remember even praying, God, just help me. You know, there's some things you've probably seen. Some things that you've picked up that you wish you hadn't have. Here's another one. Maybe a mistake you made. You know, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, I could keep you here for the next 2 hours. Telling you things that I said that I wish I hadn't have said, okay? And just, or here's another one, okay? And you got, I can't relate to the women. I don't know how you relate to this kind of stuff, but I know how guys, I'll speak from a guy's point of view. You're in an environment and you hear a dirty joke, okay? And you can't really, you don't want to get all pharisaical and hoity-toity and how dare you, you know, that kind of thing. You kind of, and you hear this dirty joke and it's bad and what makes it worse, it's funny too, okay? It's really funny and you don't want to laugh because it's a dirty joke, but it's funny, you know, and you're going red and you, or gossip. You hear a real juicy tidbit and I don't need to hear that, okay? What am I getting at here, okay? Seeing things we wish we couldn't, you know, we wish we hadn't seen. Hearing things we wish we hadn't heard. Mistakes we've made, okay? That's like spiritual dirt. It's stuff that sticks to you. It's stuff that's going to happen in your life. You can't avoid it. If you're in the world like Jesus says we are, but not of the world, you're going to accumulate stuff like that, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I shower regularly. Okay? I do. Number one, because I don't want my wife to get disgusted with me. Raymond's clapping for me there while I'm saying it, okay? Normal people have showers regularly. Why? Because if you don't, your clothes accumulate odors and stains. And you know, you shower regularly. Spiritually, we're in need of this even more. When you come in here on Sundays or we get together at prayer meeting, you've accumulated stuff. Sin sticks to you. I'm not talking about committing sin. I'm talking about being in an environment where it's everywhere. Okay? And we are in need constantly of this, what I call washing. Look what the word says. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. I just explained to you the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of it. What does that mean? Cleansing of your mind. You know, renewed. When I vacuum the carpet, like our dog, you wouldn't believe how it sheds. And we got sheets in our bedroom that are winter sheets, and they're kind of like really fuzzy and cozy. Oh, they're beautiful in the wintertime. But you get out of bed, and all this white stuff's all over your carpet for the whole winter, you know, until we go back to the summers. So, like, sometimes my bedroom and, like, the family room and where the dog is could look like a pigsty. I get the vacuum out, and, you know, and it's a job that sucks. It really does, but that's a pun. But I renew my carpet. I renew, you know, Heather comes home and says, oh, you vacuumed, you know, unbelievable, okay? Do you think your mind just stays fresh on its own? No, we live in an environment. You get on Twitter, you get on Facebook, you get on social media or TV, you're going to accumulate all kinds of crap, okay? That's what it's talking about. No, don't, look, we're in the world. We can't. God did not call us to, you know, open a monastery and stick to ourselves. No, Rick talked about it. Go and make disciples. You know, go and preach the word. Go and live the life. You are light on a hill. Don't hide your light under a bushel. You're the salt of the earth. You give flavor to everything. And in this environment, you even stop people from falling and busting their heads because you're salt on the ice. Okay? We're there to help. We're there to encourage. If we're to ourselves, we're being disobedient to Christ. But if you're out there, you're going to accumulate slop. The word's full of stuff like this. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Turn away from this stuff. Be renewed. What are those forces? What are those things that renew your mind? That's the things we got to pursue together. And we help each other pursue them. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by, look at the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about cleaning. He's talking about cleansing. It's an ongoing thing. Titus 3:5, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. His purpose is a renewed, refreshed, clean mind. Sounds like God is into cleansing. He's into renewing. He's into keeping our mind washed and fresh. And there's a big one here. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God, in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. That's what Adopt-A-Block's all about right there, okay? And to keep oneself unstained by the world. Not in, well, I'm pure, I can't get soiled. No. We're in the dirt, we're in the gutter, we're trying to help, we're trying to pull people out of the gutter, but if you're really going to make a difference in people's lives, it doesn't matter how much, how Christ-like you are, you're going to have some of that stuff stick to you, okay? It is going to stick to you. So if we're in the Lord, we are in need of cleansing, continually cleansing. You ever seen a little kid that lives in a bubble that never gets to play in the dirt or a sand pile or never does anything wrong? That's a warped kid. That kid's going to grow up kind of bent. Kids love to play in the dirt. Kids love to get in trouble. Kids love to, sometimes the only way they learn is by messing up. Okay? There's not a parent in the world that get, a good parent in the world that's going to get after their kid because they're playing in the dirt. That's what kids do. You get them bathed, you get them cleaned up, they're your kid, you love them, they're curious, they're full of life. We have a heavenly Father. We live in a sin, sick, filthy world. And sin is sticky. It sticks to you. And it will not go away on its own. Okay? This is something we have to keep going to the Lord for continually. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay? That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the spiritual thing. He's using marriage as a illustration, but it says to make her holy. He's talking about the church now again. Cleansing her. This is Christ in the church. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. He's trying to keep us clean all the time. Okay? From his presence, from his word flows cleaning, flows healing, flows renewing all the time. We don't push people to be perfect here, but we do push you to read the word. We do push you in the area of prayer. We do push you to not give up meeting together, because when you got people pursuing Jesus together, it has an effect of cleansing and healing on yourself as well. Okay? Washing the disciples' feet. Remember that, he said? He said to Peter, you know, he said, I'm going to wash your feet. Well, you know, wash all my body. Well, no, only your feet is necessary. What was he talking about there? Okay? We're living in a world that's got sin all over the place. And if you're not taking regular spiritual showers, this is a spiritual shower today, okay? When you get alone with God and the Word in your private place, that's a spiritual shower, okay? Without regular spiritual showers, you know what happens? You start spiritually stinking up the place. You don't notice, because one of the greatest weapons the devil uses is complacency, which turns into pride. I'm okay, you know? Remember I put up that sign up there that said, everybody asks how we are? Fine. There's cultural pressure for us to kind of fake that we're fine all the time. And if we're to be what God's called us to be in this place, this is a place where people don't have to say when we ask how they are, if they're not fine, they don't have to say fine.
Amen.
They can say, I'm a wreck. I don't even want to be here. Okay? And they're going to find refreshing. They're going to find cleansing. They're going to find healing. Not that we're going to perfect them. We're going to love them. We're going to lift up the presence of God. And that's what happens to people when they're loved and they're in the presence of God. Their hearts get open to Christ. And before you know it, He's doing the cleansing and He's doing the healing. So what does God wash away? What will God wash away? Lies and scars. Of abuse. It's all kinds of different scars. And lies, too. People got wrong ideas about addiction and traumatic relationships and inferiority and all that stuff. You know? Lies like you'll never get free. Bad memories. You know? Like, forgive me, I can't remember. I say that home all kinds of times. I'm thankful for a lot of things I can't remember. I beat myself up over the things I should remember. But there's some things we wish we could forget, okay? He can set us free from that kind of stuff. And I'm not approaching this from a psychological point of view here. I'm not a psychologist. And boy, if you come to church, you don't want an armchair psychologist as a pastor, okay? Some of them pretend that they are. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. I am not a psychologist, okay? But I have seen the healing power of Christ, okay? And He doesn't lie. We can have all sorts of misconceptions and misperceptions because of lies and scars of it. He can heal that stuff. What does He wash away? Spiritual blindness. Man. Like the blindness to your own sin. Your own complacency. Your own arrogance. Your own doubt. Your own fear. I'm not talking condemnation here. Okay? Because sometimes people don't even see it. And Christ can turn the lights on. Some of you have had that before because I've heard your stories. I had no idea I was carrying this until something happened and the lights came on. And I was asking God for answer to prayer when the answer was between my ears all the time. And God turned on the lights. Okay? Blindness to your own negative perceptions. God can wash that away. Look what He says in His Word. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. And you got this in the bulletin today. Okay, we did this at the intercessors meeting and at the prayer meeting Thursday night. I decided I'm going to put this in the bulletin. Okay, and if you don't have a bulletin, you don't know what I'm talking about. But it'll be in the bulletin. It's a cool exercise. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. I don't know anybody in the room that's got this one down pat. Okay. In fact, I read this and I start feeling guilty, okay? I read this and I start thinking, yeah, I'm falling short, you know? Still the Word of God. It's not a torture chamber, folks. It's only kids' ministries. That thing's happened. You know, kids make noise, okay? Just relaxing. What are they doing to those kids in there? Yeah. Don't say that, Lenny. This is on tape, you know? So I don't need unnecessary lawsuits coming in here. Anyway. God can wash away spiritual blindness. What is that? Filters, okay? We allow and accumulate filters that cloud our spiritual perceptions. Not total blindness, mind you. Not total deafness, just filters. I think I got a lot of problems, but I don't have this one. I've talked to people who get an accumulation of wax in their ears. And, you know, the Bible even talks about, you know, unstop the blocked ears. And some people, their structure of their ears, they accumulate earwax. And about every 6 months, they got to go and get that stuff syringed. They put stuff in their ear and, it, you know, it's like, I know, my wife's wincing just looking at me. Oh, what are you talking about? Hey, that's a fact, okay? And they can kind of hear, but, you know, there's partial deafness. There's partial blindness. He can wash that away. You've heard me mention Ephesians 2 and 2 describes the devil, the prince of the powers of the air. What does that mean? Well, we hear through air, we see through air, we perceive through air. So he is the great warper of perceptions. Okay? God can cleanse that. Wrong concepts of God. God can heal that too. God's some type of Shylock, you know, demanding his pound of flesh, and you are going to shape up or you're dead. You know, that's a wrong concept of God. Or, you know, the Santa Claus God. Oh, everything's fine, sure, okay. Make a mess of your life. I love you, whatever. You know, everybody's going to heaven too with the Santa Claus God, you know. Now, God's love doesn't change for us no matter what we do, but hell is real, okay. Hell is real, and there are consequences to sin, okay. And you will never know the amazing grace of God unless you get a good grasp of how horrible and hellish hell is. Oh, John, you're preaching hellfire and damnation. Let me repeat what Jesus said. And he said it with such tenderness and such mercy and such kindness. You see, all these people have wrong concepts of God. They don't take seriously what Jesus says in the Gospels. They have this belief in Jesus, and it's their nice little image of Jesus. Kind of like a Hallmark Jesus, you know, where everything's going to be okay, okay? Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and most people go down it, okay? And he says, narrow is the way that finds salvation, and few people find it. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Sorry to wreck your Hallmark card perception. That the biblical Jesus is like nothing the world perceives him to be. Now, the overlying premise you need to know about the truth of hell and Jesus in the Bible is that he loves you no matter what. He would rather be tortured to death and die a bloody death for you and your sin rather than see you go to a place he doesn't want you to go to, okay? All of the life is available to anybody that would open up their heart to him, but people have wrong concepts of God. They think God is so loving that he sanctions sin. He hates sin more than you do. Or the who cares God. Oh man, this is really popular. Yeah, I believe in God. He's somewhere. He's playing cards with the angels in some corner of the universe somewhere. Kind of started this thing up and now it's a mess. Hey, look, I even fall into that one because I see how horrible the world is and all the sin, and I find myself praying, God, you got to do something. Come on, God. Okay? I need cleansing from the Lord. I haven't got a handle yet on like how powerful he is, but boy, do I feel those clouds. Do I feel those warped perceptions? Do I feel those wrong concepts? They're pressing in on me all the time, and I need to get back to the Word. I need to be in the presence of God. I need to listen to what I'm preaching, okay? And do it. What's he going to wash away? He's going to wash away infections. I won't gross you out. I've seen Heather wincing already. I don't want to gross her out anymore, okay? I'm very familiar with infections. I'm not going to use gross words right now, but there have been, you know, something I've battled in my physical body for decades, okay? What's an infection? That's a foreign material that gets into your body and you don't really know it's there sometimes until it's too late, okay? And you got to do something about it or it will kill you. Now, fortunately, we got a good physical system in our body that lets us know. We start getting a fever, we start getting pain, and we know, hey, we got to do something quick, okay? And we can have spiritual infections in our life, okay? And they will kill you if they're left untreated. But God can wash them away. He can. Stuff that comes in through unforgiveness, through bitterness, through disappointment, through distrust, through doubt, through fear, through missed destinies, all sorts of areas. My battle with infection, I got to wear $110 socks. I got to be an absolute hygiene fanatic with my feet. Because any little thing that gets in and I'm toast. I carry an emergency supply of antibiotics all the time. I'm going down south in the States in 2 weeks. I got to make sure I've got my prescriptions ready because I don't want to be paying big hospital bills, you know, on all the hassle that's involved, okay? There's stuff that we think, well, I don't have to deal with that. I'm telling you, this kind of spiritual infection that gets into our lives through unforgiveness and distrust and bitterness and doubt and fear and whatever, missed destiny, sometimes it manifests itself in stress. Sometimes it manifests itself in, it can manifest in all kinds of ways. But Jesus can wash that away too. All this stuff headed down the drain. That's his will. But we have our defenses up, you know. No way! Not getting in there. Got to do it my way, you know. Not going to happen. Brainwashing. I gotta be in control. No way. I'm not yielding to anybody. Mm-mm. I learned that lesson before. I'm not making that mistake again. Okay. You know. And then, you know, we think of the term of brainwashing. Well, I don't want to be cultic. I don't want to be a religious airhead. No, not me, boy. I'm smart. I'm in control, you know? They're not going to be, nobody's going to ever call me gullible. Like those Looney Tune people that show up at that church at York Street Public School. There's no way. There is someone you can let your defenses down for, okay? There is someone that you can fully trust in. You can surrender to the only person who would never take advantage of you. Did you hear that? You can fully surrender to the only person who would never take advantage of you. And it's quite normal to be intimidated by his presence, by the way. The real God. It's very normal to be intimidated by him. In fact, chances are you probably are encountering the real God. If you're a little bit of intimidated, look what the word says. And well, I'm not going to put it up there. But Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah encounters God, his first reaction is, I'm unclean, okay, I can't even be in your presence. But he didn't run away from God, and the angel cleaned him up. The angel anointed him for the purpose that God had for him. In Luke 5:8, right after Jesus causes a miraculous catch of fish that's so great their nets are breaking, Simon Peter realizes who the guy is. He falls at his feet and says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. It's not on the screen, but it's Luke 5:8. I'm a sinful man. Becomes aware of his own sin right away. Intimidated. But we still think we always have to be in control. Even though, you know, we're trying to be, you know, responsible and adult and reliable because I gotta be in control. We gotta find that perfect balance between, are you listening now? We gotta find that perfect balance between childlike trusting faith and pouting, controlling childishness. You've heard me use the term being childlike and not childish. You see it in the Bible. Remember Naaman? Naaman, I think it's, Naaman is the leader. He's full of leprosy. And he goes, he hears Elisha can heal people of lepers. So he goes to Elisha. And Elisha didn't even answer the door. His servant comes to the door. I don't know why I always picture those Bible stories. Most of the time, maybe it's British accents are funnier, you know. I picture a servant coming to the door. He's not in, he's resting. Well, tell him Naaman's here. I told you to go into the Jordan River and dunk yourselves 7 times. What? And it actually says in the account, I think it's in 1 Kings, it says, I thought he'd come and wave his hand and do something. No, you go in the, don't you think I got enough river? My rivers are cleaner from where I came from. What's your problem? He's being indignant. I gotta be in control. He's not yielding. He's got a concept of God. He's got an understanding of how God's supposed to work. He's gotta do it this way, this way, this way, this way. You get in a dirty river and dunk yourself 7 times. You better be God's spokesman saying that to a ruler, boy. And he's about to leave, he's all upset, and the servant, boy, you gotta hand it to the servant. Hey, you got nothing to lose, buddy. This just might be God. And his own stubbornness and his own spiritual blindness would have led to a premature death in Naaman's life. He was cleansed. There you go, cleansing again, okay? He was obedient, and he was cleansed. The Bible says his skin was like that of a baby's. The blind man that wasn't quite healed. You know, Jesus touches him. What do you see? Oh, I see trees. They look like people. Well, you better go for another, you know, I guess if it was a baptism, it'd be another dunk. You know, pull his head down this time. I don't know. Okay. Jesus heals him again. There's a lot of people that are in that. I'm not quite healed. I'm not quite there yet. And Christ is the one that takes us the rest of the way. We are so guarded. We're so protective. We unconsciously bring that into our relationship with Christ. You can't do that and be cleansed. You can't do that and be refreshed. You can't do that and be hosed down. Okay? Some of us need more than just a shower. We need that high-powered, you know. Good news. He can wash away those fears. Gotta be in control. I gotta protect myself. He can wash those fears away. It's not just for salvation, it's for daily wholeness. Like I said, I shower regularly, you know? And we need spiritual showers. So I like doing this. I don't do it a lot because you might get ticked off to me. I like got corny old songs, you know, that everybody forgets. You see, Lenny's groaning already, okay? I rise to walk in heaven's own light, above the world of sin, with heart made pure and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream I see. Now just hold it there. The cleansing stream I see needs some actions. Remember in Sunday school we did actions deep and wide running over. The cleansing stream I see. Okay, there's the action for it. The cleansing stream I see. I plunge. I don't sprinkle. Okay, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me. It cleanseth me. I looked all over online to find a video clip of a 7-Up commercial I remember. Some of you might have remembered this. It's a commercial where there's this little kid, 2 or 3 year old kid, and it's a big fountain in a public square, and there's seniors all over the place, and you know, it's a place where people like to hang out. And this little 3 year old kid has got a sailboat. And he's playing in the fountain, and the sailboat gets away from him. He can't get at it, and he's crying. And this 80-year-old guy comes along, looks at the kid, takes his shoes off, goes in the fountain, picks up the boat, and by the time he's coming back, the kid starts splashing him. And he thinks it's a big joke, so the older guy splashes him, and the wife is sitting by. She's laughing. She thinks it's cute. She steps in and splashes the guy for, and before you know it, and they start playing the 7-Up theme back then, there's all these seniors seeing the commotion, and the commercial ends with about 75 seniors. Everybody's in the fountain splashing water and everything. The first time I saw that, I think I cried. I did! Because you know what I saw? You remember I told you how often the Holy Spirit can speak to you in the craziest of ways? You know what I thought when I saw that? If that isn't a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what is. Even Jesus says a little child will lead them. And all these people who think, you know, they got to do it a certain way, and they're so inhibited and they don't want to plunge, just like the song says, I plunge and oh, it cleanses me. Okay. You know what we do every Wednesday night in our intercessors meeting? You know what we do every Thursday? You know what we do every Sunday? You know what we do every time we hand out flyers? You know what we do when we're in JM and we're doing everything we can to bless and love this neighborhood? We're turning the shower on. Now you think we're cleansing the... No. It's cleansing to us. And it washes stuff away that accumulates that we don't even know about. And this message, please, is not just for our encouragement. This is our mission as well, okay? We're called to be foot washers. What does that mean in a culture where you're wearing shoes all the time and hygiene with the feet isn't an issue like it was in that culture back then, okay? We are people that feel, if we're really filled with the Holy Spirit, we are bringing a flow of cleansing, a flow of purity, a flow of loosing crap in people's lives, a flow of when people are done talking up, they feel clean. They feel whole. I don't know about you, but after I've played hockey, I'm grungy. I need to change clothes twice. I need to have a you just feel like, oh, like I drive from, you know what? I don't hang around guys' locker rooms. They're the grossest places in the world. Guys, you know, oh, yeah, please. Oh, you know, like I see things I don't want to see. Remember I talked to you, you wish you couldn't see things. Oh God, please. Okay. I get out of there as fast as I can. John, you never shower. Oh, yes, I do, but I don't want to do it in here, okay? First of all, the smell's killing me. The sights are just, oh, dear, it's traumatic, okay? I get out of there right away, and I get home, and as soon as I get home, I'm in the shower, man. I'm in the shower. And all of us know, you know, when you come out of a shower, oh, you may not look that great, but that doesn't matter. You feel good. You feel healthy. You feel alive. And spiritually, we can have that effect on people. We can make people feel alive because of the presence of Christ. It's the devil that tells you you can't do it. It's the devil that tells you you have nothing to offer. It's the devil that says, you know, you're too beat up and put down. No. Some of you have already learned how, you've already seen the look in somebody's face when you just spend a little bit of extra time with them. And now you can see the Holy Spirit lighting them up. Okay? That's what we're called to do. Confirming. Affirming, securing. You hear this term, we win people to Jesus. What does that mean? As if there was a fight and we won. No! slap yourself up the side of the head. Come on. We win people's favor. We win people's trust. We win their confidence. We win their friendship. We win their time. If somebody's spending time with you, they're honoring you. They're telling you, I trust you. That's a holy thing. That's a sacred thing. That's powerful. And we've got the ability to affirm and to secure. That's what foot washing is. The symbolic meaning of it is 10 times more important in our culture than the actual thing. We got religious movements that think you got to do it with a basin and everything. Guys take their socks off when they're in suits and everything. Come on. Okay? Totally changed its meaning. We wash spiritually now. Spiritually now. We wash each other's feet like, oh, look what Rick tracked in. Oh, look what Mike tracked in, you know, and we're all tracking stuff in all the time. We hide it well, and there are people that will come here that we don't even know, and they're tracking stuff in, okay? They're tracking stuff in, and we offer washing. They'll be tracking it in, and we gotta be, boy, you know, I can't, and I'm gonna get beat up for this because I gotta live this, okay? And I have to, so I'm gonna make it public, okay? I can't afford to have a bad day. I can't if I'm interacting with people. You should hear about Heather and the work that she does, and Steve works with her, so there's two together. They can't say anything because they can't betray confidences. But I understand because of what Heather faces with the people that she ministers to during the day in her high needs school, she can't afford to have a bad day. She can't. Because with some of the kids that she works with, that might be life and death. And whether you like it or not, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you're serious about blessing somebody and being somebody that's a cleansing agent, get ready because the Holy Spirit will send people to you. Okay? Oh, that's good. I want to be used to the Lord. Really? Do you know what type of people He sends you? High maintenance. High needs. They're usually the people that never get it together. Oh, you want to serve me, eh? Well, that's great. I need more people serving me. And you know what? When we're doing it together, I don't know about you guys, but I get strengthened by you guys. I do. You guys inspire me. There's nothing that motivates me more to be what God's called me to be than this bunch in this room right now. Right now. Okay? Well, and Don and Teresa, but they're not here, you know. But I don't like talking without mentioning them, you know. We've got some gems, boy. And I don't want to go through life without anybody, with anybody else but this bunch. It's a good bunch. But even the good bunch that you see, we track stuff in. And we got to keep building one another up. We got to keep encouraging each other. We keep washing people and in that beautiful figurative sense. Close your eyes. Father, I think you really did a miracle because I talked long today. And Lord, while I was looking at people, it really sounded like they were listening. So that's, wow, God, that's amazing. That's great. That tells me, God, that your Holy Spirit's here. You're doing stuff. You're doing stuff more than a good speaker could do. And Lord, we're not taking it for granted in any way this morning, God. Lord, we don't want to get so familiar with your Holy Spirit that, you know, it just becomes normal, everyday stuff to us, Lord. That's not what we want. We desire it to be fresh in our lives. We desire its cleansing, healing, Lord, qualities to flow uninhibited, God. So this morning, and I want you to do this. I want you to kind of put your hands in your lap like you're holding on to something tight, okay? Holding on to something tight. And as I'm doing it with you, I got the hands of Jesus. And I'm telling Jesus this morning, you're my every hope. If I'm anything, it's because of you, Jesus. And if I'm gonna be anything or do anything for you, it's gonna be because of you flowing through my life unrestricted. And you don't have to pray every word after me, but pray in agreement with me about your life right now. God, tell God you're not letting go. God, I'm not letting go of you. I'm confused. I've been broken. There's things I don't understand, but I am not letting go of you. Will you keep me clean in you? Will you keep me cleansed and refreshed and watered by your word? Would you renew, Lord, my mind? And Lord, here's a good one. Pray this with me too. God, Let me know the joy of seeing that renewing you've done in me. Let me see the joy of it happening in people that I touch with my life. People that I talk to. People that I'm friends with. People that I don't even know yet that you're going to lead me to, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Do we all agree on that prayer this morning? Ooh, if any two or three agree touching one thing, it's going to be done. That's good stuff. Now let's expect that he's answered that prayer. And you can start right in this room before you say goodbye. You know, you can go bless somebody. Look at Lenny's on his way already. Look at that. Okay, come on, follow Lenny's example. Let's go for it. God bless you.